website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
91 FM, The Truth. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and the discussion on the issues each and every day. It is our prayer each day that you'll hear. It will be something that will be inspiring, challenging, informative, educational for you, that will cause you and motivate you to be salt and light in the decaying, darkened society that our world is in today. May I say today, as we face the issues, I'm going to start out with a monologue dealing with what's happening with the aftermath of the hurricane. But that's not the focus and the issue that we'll discuss. But I feel it is incumbent upon us to recognize what is taking place in some of the parts of Georgia, South Carolina, Florida, Tennessee, and North Carolina with the devastation that is happening. And perhaps you're asking the question, why no FEMA? Why are the federal agencies not in there helping? What is the reason? What's happening? Why? I think there are a lot of questions that we need to ask. There are some answers that we have, but I think we can see the handwriting on the wall is the motivation behind the federal government, Joe Biden at the helm. And we need to discuss that, and that will not be the total of the broadcast, but I believe it is incumbent upon us to understand what is taking place. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book. Jesus speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the scripture. Thy word is truth. Then in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible says that the truth of the Lord endures forever. Maybe you ask the question, how long is forever? It's forever, without end. And yet we find those today that are differing with and challenging, wanting to modify, bifurcate in some fashion that which is true. Ought not to be a surprise to us. In fact, it was Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. But ladies and gentlemen, truth matters regardless of whether you want to believe it or not, whether our federal government, state agencies, or others want to believe it. You'll find any discussion that you get into about any subject, you'll find those that want to deny and reject and bifurcate truth. I've said before, and at the risk of redundancy, I'll say again, a half truth is a whole lie. And yet, according to the headline that I'm looking at now, it says most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. The article starts out with giving the Webster's Dictionary definition of truth. It says it's the body of real things, real events, real facts, actualities, and the state of being, the case of fact. So, ladies and gentlemen, how do you bifurcate, change, modify fact, and it still be truth? It's not. In fact, according to this article, 55% of the millennials say there's no such thing as absolute truth. They also state, and I quote, each person determines their own version of truth. We need to go back to the fundamentals of truth. If Jesus says, I am truth, then he is the epitome. He is the fountainhead, the very focus of truth. I like to go back and quote Jan Hus. the 15th century theologian and church reformer. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge. By the way, go back and study Jan Hus. Jan Hus, even when he was being burned at the stake, yelled out, truth shall prevail. Truth shall prevail. In fact, one of Jan Hus's statements, and I quote, do not be afraid to stand alone if it means standing for what is truth. In fact, he goes on to say, a true Christian follows the teachings of Christ, not the teachings of the doctrines of man. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in those who want to start their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time has the full line of equipment for the homeowner like Honda and Echo. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how can I find it? What's the benchmarks? There's a benchmark. There's an identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. Atop that flagpole is the flag, U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24/7. Find the flag at the flagpole, the base of the flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForATime.com. ToolsForATime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about the subject, theological, doctrinal, biblical subject, that I believe is pertinent in our understanding of who Jesus Christ is. We're going to ask the question, was Jesus really tempted? And I'll tell you why that's the subject, and why we're talking about it, and what the Bible says about it in just a moment. But first of all, I want to talk about and go into a little detail with what I call my opening monologue. I'm delighted to have with us today Dr. Glenn Davis. Dr. Davis, thank you for joining us today as we face the issues.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. And truly, it's always an honor and a pleasure, amen, to be able to be with you on a Friday morning. Amen. Good morning to every one of you. And we hope and pray that you have recovered or in the process of Amen. Recovering from the effects of the storm.
Yes.
Certainly, you know, we suffered many losses around Charlton County ourselves.
Yes.
We had a tree to fall on the kitchen part of our church, but thank God we were able to go in anyway on Sunday morning and give God praise in spite of. So we hope that you would do the same thing in spite of what you might have suffered. Give God the praise.
Amen.
Continuously give him the praise. Amen. Want to say good morning to my bride of 38 years, amen, and all my family and friends that are listening on today. And again, let's give God the praise, because if you just look right down the road, I mean, we used to say, you know, take a look at other countries.
Yes.
But now we can look right down the road, mm-hmm. and someone is in a little bit worse shape than what you
yes,
are.
Yes, that's right.
So thank God. Count up your blessings. Count them one by one, and you will be able to see what the Lord has done.
Amen. That's a good opening statement in relationship to what we're going to talk about. But ladies and gentlemen, before we get into our issues, let's face the issues. The issue of, was Jesus really tempted? Now, you need to ponder that. But before we get into that, I want us to encourage each of us to continue to pray. Dr. Davis just spoke of that. Praying for those that have gone through the devastation. Praying for those families in Georgia, Florida,
Amen.
South Carolina, North Carolina, Tennessee, that have suffered some absolute total loss, some with the loss of family members, some with entire families being wiped out completely. The devastation from the hurricane. But we understand, ladies and gentlemen, about 250 have died. That's an estimated number, I think. Hundreds are still missing. And the estimated property damage now, they're saying between 160 and $200 billion in property damages. And listen very carefully. Let me just put this little footnote there. Overwhelming majority, I think they said less than 4%, had insurance. Overwhelming majority had no flood insurance, no wind insurance, and the extreme majority had no insurance at all. So there's no coverage where an insurance company would be saying, woe is me, I can't pay it. In fact, some of the insurance companies are basically rejoicing in that it will barely touch their till of funds because so many people lost everything but had no coverage at all. Most of the families had no flood insurance, no wind insurance at all. It's a sad situation, ladies and gentlemen. The thing that we see taking place that is so horrendous is that FEMA, the federal agency called FEMA, is not in there. FEMA says they have no money. In fact, look at a headline, says, treasonous. Biden-Harris spend billions on illegals, leaving no disaster funds in FEMA to help Americans that's needful.
My.
Dr. Davis, let's just use some hypotheticals. My wife and I were talking about this last evening. If you put $10 in the bank and you decide you want to spend $5, you go to the bank and they say, I'm sorry, I've spent your money on something else. I don't have it. That would be a crime. That would be theft. That would be robbery. And yet we have agencies today like the DHS that evidently funds the FEMA program. And Mayorkas has said, his quote, and I look at another headline, Mayorkas has said that warns that FEMA doesn't have enough funding to last through the hurricane season. And the reason is they've spent billions of dollars of taxpayer funds that were to be set aside for a hurricane and for major catastrophes as we see having taken place. They've used those dollars to provide funding for hundreds of thousands, yea, millions of illegal invaders that have come into America, and now they claim they don't have the funds to take care of American citizens that's lost everything. They have no money to help these devastated families, ladies and gentlemen. Why not? And it's because the DHS spent billions, already sent billions of dollars out of the till into the hands of the illegal invaders. In fact, you say, well, what did they get? What did FEMA or DHS give them? Listen, most may not be aware of this, but cell phones have been provided for each of the illegal invaders. It's supposed to be on the premise that they have a contact basis so that when their case comes up to be heard by the courts for a judge to determine if they can stay or have to leave. But they're given $1,500 cash. They get three meals a day and lodging. And most of the lodging up in the Northeast and the blue cities and the blue states, they're put in five-star hotels. And yet, listen, Kamala Harris had the gall in the state of Georgia, in Augusta, Georgia, Savannah, Georgia, both of those cities where she was almost laughing, talking about the condition, the devastation, but she was gleeful that the feds were going to give each family, not each individual, each family $750. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you got no home, if you got no water, a home is not tenable, you've got no water, you've got no sewage, your job's gone because the company you work for is wiped out. What is $750 compared with $1,500 cash per person for the illegal invaders, a five-star hotel, square meals each day, and a cell telephone that's prepaid? Ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem with that picture. Then in North Carolina, a hotel is empty. Listen, one individual with some of his family members drove from Florida to North Carolina to try to find a way to help families that were devastated in that area. He wanted to provide shelter for two or three that he had found, that two or three families that needed a place to stay. He went into one of the hotels in one of the cities that was still standing, that had not been destroyed, and he wanted to rent rooms for these people that needed it. The hotel owner said they could not rent any. The hotel sat sitting there empty, no one in it. But they would refuse to rent a room or rooms for these people that this family from Florida were going to pay for the rooms. They refused to rent the rooms because they said the entire hotel had been rented out by the federal government for FEMA employees to stay while they're there. Well, there are no FEMA employees there. FEMA has not shown up to try to assist and help. they've finally gotten, by state help, they've gotten the National Guard in to come try to help what they call mudding out, digging the mud out of the homes that are left standing, to get the families back in it. But the hotel owner said the federal government had rented the entire hotel for FEMA workers. Ladies and gentlemen, some of the individuals that traveled from North Carolina to Tennessee to render help were turned away, being told that the federal, by the federal agents, that they're, they need to leave, that they're getting in the way. And private citizens are searching for families, searching for individuals that are lost. And they are trying to use, some of the private individuals, trying to use drones to search out and find someone that needs help. Do you realize Pete Buttigieg, the head of the Federal Transportation Department, now has said to those who want to fly drones, individuals wanting to fly their own drones, low altitudes, not getting in the way of the federal air traffic. But Peter Buttigieg now has said that you can't do that. It's a federal ban on that because you might get in the way of some of the federal workers helping to find those that are stranded, those that are the hillsides, those that are the mountainsides, those that cannot be seen or heard from otherwise, refusing to allow them to render help by searching for them. Private citizens seeking to find missing peoples. Now, people not being told that you can't do it. You can't fly your private drone to try to search for individuals. Ladies and gentlemen, the Biden administration, along with cackling Kamala, why are these things taking place? Let me just do a little footnote before we make a transition, get into our issue for today. Why is it that the feds are restricting individuals from helping? Why is it the feds are not putting FEMA agents in there? Why is it the feds are not providing real money to assist those that are devastated? Let me do a little parenthetical footnote to that question. My opinion, the Kamala Harris and Joe Biden administration realize that the overwhelming majority of that part of North Carolina and Tennessee are what we'd call red states, red cities, that they would vote for Trump. Now, I would ask you a question. If you have no home, no shelter, no place to place your head at night that could be called home, if you have no food in the fridge, no refrigerator, if you have no water other than a few bottles of water that's being dispersed now by private individual corporate entities and individuals, are you going to be concerned about voting in 30 days? Second question to that, will there be voting booths, voting headquarters, voting precincts? Will there be an opportunity for conservative Republicans, conservatives, Christians, conservatives and patriots, will there be a way to vote in those devastated areas? I think the Biden administration, Kamala Harris and the Biden administration, are purposely trying to repress the vote with just being 30 days out from the election. Now, that's my opinion. You may differ. You may have other thoughts. You may have other insights. But I've reviewed just about all of the articles on that subject. I've reviewed the potentiality, the possibility of what is happening and why. And that's my summation. That's my opinion. Dr. Davis, what say you? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, when we consider, I mean, all these things that they're doing right now, for me, my first thoughts when I heard, especially about the $750, that was designed to buy votes.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thoughts on
that's
that.
That's right.
That's just buying votes.
That's right.
I would be ashamed to even offer that.
Mm-hmm.
When we consider our guys that have gone out overseas and fought in the wars and are now on the streets, corners in America, sitting there homeless.
That's right.
And begging for food.
Yes.
And yet when they go to the VA, they still can't get the help that they need,
mm-hmm,
and that they deserve.
Yes.
And they're going to come and offer $750 a family. That's a disgrace. And then we're also funding a war overseas that I don't think we should be funding.
That's right.
That's money that's being, and we've heard about this,
mm-hmm,
money laundering and all kind of different things are taking place.
So you're talking
with
about
that
Ukraine,
money that
Ukraine
we're sending
the,
over there.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I believe we're supposed to, and we ought to, support Israel.
Yes.
But when it comes down to our taxpayer money, once again,
yes,
going to a place where it should not be, then I'm totally against that.
Absolutely. We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, the danger that looms ahead. And especially now with the election, what is today? The 4th, we've got the election in about 31 days. 31 days will determine the destiny of America. The front page of Decision Magazine, the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association organization, being headed up now by Franklin Graham, Dr. Graham's son. The front cover of the October issue of Decision Magazine has a picture of Kamala Harris and a picture of Donald Trump. Under Kamala Harris's picture, the word socialism. Under the picture of Donald Trump, freedom. That says it all. That says it all. And I believe that's what we need to recognize is taking place today. And this opportunity that the Socialist Marxist Communist Party has to destroy this election concerns me gravely. And I believe we need to provide help and assistance all possible through prayer, and those that can do other things. But we need to pray and ask God to divinely intervene to give victory in this election. Listen, we've got to go out in super numbers to have a super vote, because keep in mind, the Socialist Marxist Party going to still continue to try to steal the election. There'll be major, major election fraud taking place. That means we got to have a superabundance over and above just winning, a superabundance of votes from Christians, conservatives, and patriots, or we will lose America.
And then, Dr. Youngblood, let me add, don't sit back and trust the mail-in vote.
Yes.
The mail-in voting, I don't even want to call it a system, because it's not a system.
Not a system. Should have never been.
It's trickery.
That's right.
And the reason why I'm saying that is because right now, I have at my house, in the junk mail, bags full of ballots that I never asked for from the last election.
Mm-hmm.
I got notifications about, here's the ballot that you requested. I never requested a mail-in ballot.
Mm-hmm.
I always vote in person.
Yes.
So that's what we're trying to encourage you to do today. Let's not depend on that system. It really set us up for failure in the first beginning.
Absolutely.
So let's make sure we understand what that's all about and show up in person.
Yes.
And do your civic duty by, yes, voting in person.
And my plea is to Christians to not be deceived into believing that it is best to vote on a certain party level when that party stands for murder by way of abortion, that party stands for the butchery of healthy body parts on what is called transgender surgery, that party believes that there's more than two genders, that's slapping God in the face. God created male and female. He didn't create 157 other genders, as they're calling it today. So we need to be very, very careful and get prayerful as the way we vote and ask God to divinely intervene. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's my thought. That's my monologue getting into our issue today as we talk about the issue of could Jesus sin, if you want to call it that, or was Jesus really tempted by Satan in the wilderness when he was there? Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11 is the key text on that. But, ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917, 904. Ladies and gentlemen, just a few days ago, listen carefully. Just a few days ago, I was in my automobile driving, and while I was driving, I was listening to a pastor. I don't even know his name, don't know the city, don't know the state, just know there's a preacher on the radio preaching, and as he was preaching, I don't know what his text was, but as he was preaching, I'm going to give you verbatim what he said. He was speaking to his audience. He said, Many of you are tempted to look at a woman in lust. The Bible says that if you look at a woman in lust, you have already committed adultery. Remember, Jesus was also tempted, end quote. Now, that sets the stage for what I want us to talk about. Was Jesus really tempted? Was he tempted? Ladies and gentlemen, what does it mean to be tempted? What does it mean? The theological doctrinal question that must be asked, a very important question, is this. Was Jesus really tempted? Now, it's a good analysis of the 4th chapter, and I won't ask you to turn there if you're driving. But if you're not driving, you might want to thumb through your Bible to Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, and I'll give you the summary of that text. That text is where Jesus was driven into the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, and the scripture says, and he was hungered, and he was tempted by Satan. I'm paraphrasing. He was tempted by Satan to turn the rocks into bread, etc., etc., etc. And Jesus quoted scripture and quoted scripture and quoted scripture in relationship to that. Now you understand the context. You understand what I'm saying. Many of you understand the text, and you've read it many, many times. The preacher that I was listening to said, and I quote, he says, the scripture says, ladies and gentlemen, that the Bible says in that text where Jesus was tempted, that said that Jesus kept on quoting scripture, and said Jesus had to quote scripture also, just as we need to quote scripture. We need to know the scripture. Jesus knew the scripture, and the thing that prevented him from yielding to the temptation of Satan was that he knew the scripture and quoted scripture. And he says that Jesus was enticed to sin, but he quoted scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to pause for a moment. Let that sink in, Dr. Davis. If Jesus Christ is God, and he is, then from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22 are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's God come into flesh. Yes, in the temptation text, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, Jesus quoted scripture back to Satan. Satan kept saying, if you're really the Son of God, if you're really who you say you are, if you're really all-powerful, if you're really God, then do this, do this, do this. You remember the text. So the question boils down to, Dr. Davis, who is Jesus? Could Jesus sin? Was Jesus really tempted? What does the word tempt mean? And just as we are tempted, could Jesus have that same temptation? Those are the questions that I believe we need to talk about today and answer. And I had the privilege of publishing a book less than 100 years ago. In fact, it was published back in 1984. So far back in archives of history, doesn't even have a barcode on it as new books have today. We still have several of those, a number of those, in our supply in the Conservative Campus bookstore. It is called Could Jesus Sin? It is talking about what is called the impeccability of Christ. Let me give you a little schooling, if you please, on some theological terms. To say that Jesus Christ was tempted but yet did not sin, could not sin, is the term impeccability. If you want to translate that, it means it was an impossibility for him to yield to the temptation. The term peccability simply means that Jesus could have yielded but just chose not to. Now, those are the two things that my book, 224 pages, 24 chapters, 24, 25 chapters covers, and it talks about the impeccability of the Lord Jesus Christ, asking the question, could Jesus sin? We're asking a little different today. Was Jesus really tempted as this dear pastor, and I'm sure he meant well, as this dear pastor was preaching on the radio broadcast? Was Jesus really tempted to sin? Dr. Davis, we're going to talk about the temptation. What is the word temptation? We'll talk about what is sin and how sin originates. We'll talk about the question today, why was Jesus in the wilderness to begin with? We'll also talk about today, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus' blood is divine blood. We'll also talk about if Jesus Christ could sin, if he could have yielded then, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if he could have yielded then, he could still yield to sin today, and therefore would disqualify him from being our Savior. So those are the things we need to talk about. The Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all points wherein as we are yet without sin. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. So what does that mean? Those are the things that we're going to have to analyze, look at, interpret in context to make the determination, was Jesus really tempted? What does the word tempt mean? When I look at a gallon of chocolate ice cream, there's something in me says, open it and taste it. That's what you'd call temptation on the simplest level. Was there anything like that in the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there anything that could cause Jesus in his humanity and in his deity to want to yield to that temptation? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to continue this thought right after the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St.